prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, forever, that it will stand the test of time. And Lord, it continues to be life-changing words. That, Father, our life and the course and the path that we are on can be altered, Father, because we have heeded to your word. So, Father, we thank you for it now. Ask that you open up the eyes of their understanding. Open up their ear gates. Let their spirit be quickened and let their souls be refreshed. Father, we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Now we serve notice right now unto every foul and unclean spirit and every distracting spirit. Now in the name of Jesus, this is the house of God. We bind your works. We bind your plans now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for victory through the blood of the Lamb Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share with you something that I believe that will bless you, that we will continue on this message about the Father's heart to understand his nature. Have you ever been around somebody that you hear what they say, but what they say doesn't match up with how they are? We should all have But if you have like, oh yeah, I know that joker. Well, if you know that joker, then you need to get to stepping away from that joker. Because what happens is we get around people that always say the things that they know that you want to hear, but they don't do what they say. Or they don't act like the way they should be acting. No. Now, many times we hear that Christianity is the way of life. It's not a religion. It's a way of life. So as Christians, we should be Christ-like. I said, we should. We should. How many of us, well, no, don't answer, don't raise your hands. We have encountered some of these Christ-like individuals that don't act Christ-like. They act Satan-like. Right? You know, when they lie to you? Yeah, when they lie to your face and you know they're lying. Well, the Bible says that there's no lie found in God. There's no lie found in Christ. But who is the father of lies? Satan. See, once you understand the nature of the individual that you are pursuing, see, you should be pursuing Christ. So, wow, I'm gonna chase God down, and when I get him, I'm not letting go. Well, let me remind you, because many of us begin to use that scripture about Israel when Jacob goes and wrestles with God. Jacob was going through a very tough time. Jacob had to leave his family, everyone he knew. Not only that, he was running from his brother Ishmael. So, do you really want to chase God? Do you want God to tell you to leave everything and everyone that you know and run from your own brother that wants to kill you? See, we want to start quoting all this scripture. I'm going to wrestle with God. You're going to go through some stuff to get there. Right? So when we start chasing after God, there's something that's chasing us that makes us run after God. See, because if there ain't nothing on my tail, you ain't going to make me run. Now, you give me a pit bull, Rottweiler, or something about to chase me, you'll see these legs be moving quick. I don't have to be the fastest. I just got to be faster than you. That's it. I don't got to be Usain Bolt. All I got to do is just get out the way. And if somebody else is lagging, well, God bless you. I'll pray for you. But if we don't have something that's chasing us down, how are we going to get to that place? So we have to understand the nature of the individual that we're chasing. So let me take this now to how many of you single folks in here? Stand up. Single folks, stand up. All right, single folks. Folks, you youngins, you can sit down. Oh, no, no, you can stand up. You can stand up back there. You can stand back there. All right, all right. Now, listen, those of you that are standing right now that are single, who are you going to chase? Thank you. You're going to chase Jesus. Don't be chasing no man, no woman. Lionel, you're outnumbered, man. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. So I'm, you know, even though you're the only one, I'm going to talk to you, and it's going to apply to the women. All right. So look here, look here. See, the more you chase after God, the woman that God has intended for you will come and find you. Because you see, when you start chasing after the nature of the one that has created you, then when he does, because you're chasing after him, what he's going to do is bring the good things unto you. See, when you don't want to follow after Christ and you want to follow after your own desires, you're going to get all those jokers that act like, talk like, may want to smell good for a little bit, even though they just walked the, you know, got those little testers and they kept it in their pocket. They ain't got no money, ain't got no job. They got nothing. They got one color suit or one color tie and that's all they wear, but they wear it nice for you. If you keep chasing God, the nature of God is to bring to you the blessing to you. Now, for the women in here that are standing, women, let's see. As long as the man, like Lionel, is chasing after God, what happens is the man now has to hear from God where he's supposed to go and find you. So that means you got to be where you're supposed to be. Not just where you want to be. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you ain't going to find nothing holy then. I'm just trying to tell you something. Going to a happy hour, it's going to last from 7 o'clock. No, was it 3 o'clock to seven in the morning? That's not happy hour. No. So you got to be in the place that he said for you to be. And where he tells you to be is where you need to be. And then when you're there, then God will make the man find you. When he finds you, that's what the Bible says, when you find a wife, you find a good thing. You ain't never supposed to be sitting waiting. You're supposed to be found busy doing for the things of God. So that this way, when your man comes, when he come, he going to find you doing, not just waiting with a list. Do you fit this bill? Know the nature of God. And if the nature of God is to send you the good one, be where you're supposed to be. Believe in yourself. And believe in the God that you serve. Because once you're there, then he'll send the right one that has been pursuing after him, that is seeking after his nature, seeking after his face, seeking after his heart. And if they know how to love on God, baby, they know how to love on you. They're never going to lie to you. They're never going to hurt you. They're never going to disrespect you. They're never going to take advantage of you. They're never going to come after you and try to put you down, speak things ill about you. They're always going to speak the good things, because the man that's after God only speaks good things to God. I'm here to encourage you. Never put you second, never put you third, but always put you first. I'm here to encourage you, seek after the nature of the one that you're pursuing, so you can have a better understanding of the God that you serve. Amen? Amen. You may be seated, because that's the last time you stand up being single. You said, but Pastor, I'm happy being single. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. When you hear the thump thump in the night, oh! You get it all spooky and stuff when you hear noises outside. You go get yourself a dog or something. No, get yourself a real, well, now, you don't want a dog to come in. You want to, let me just help somebody in here. If you have been, hey, I got a demon cat, but shoot. Y'all know about my cat, my demon cat. She put all these dogs to shame. But listen, what I'm about to tell you is, even though, I don't know where this is coming from, I feel this. Someone has been praying, and I feel you in this room right now. There is a fear that has gripped you, one concerning health issues, and secondarily of being alone. And I'm here to speak right now into this atmosphere. I bind that spirit of fear, and I release the spirit of a sound mind. Father, I thank you right now that as you minister unto this individual, Lord, I thank you that you remove the fear. They will not be alone. Oh. And the wound that is still fresh from the broken heart, the ripping, the shredding, and the tearing, Lord, I speak peace. Be the balm of Gilead and apply the very healing virtue right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace into your heart, peace into your mind, that God, your lover, is come to speak to you concerning your heart. Fear not, beloved, you shall see the hand of God, the saving hand of God, unto you and your family, to bring about change in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your man on that altar as Abram put Isaac on the altar. Put your man on that altar now. Say, God, have your way. In the same token, remove the words from your mouth that causes pain in other people's lives, even in your man's life. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the individual that is in this room. Let God do that work. As you give him to God, let God release to you what you're in need of. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there'll be some healing in here. There will be some healing in here. I feel it. I feel it. I do. All right. Out of this scripture here, I want to share with you, if you see here where it says, long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. What fathers? Our forefathers. He spoke to them through the prophets. But in the last days, he spoke to them through his son, Jesus. But before we get into the New Testament and through Jesus, I want to go down and just kind of meander through the scriptures a little bit and get on this trail concerning what God revealed to the forefathers, our forefathers, of his nature. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. This is of Abram, the father of our faith. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3 reads in this wise. This is out of the New American Standard Bible. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, I could preach just out of that one particular message right there, where it tells you right here is that now the Lord said to Abram to leave everyone behind. Many times when the blessing is going to come, you're going to go through some hardships. You're going to go through some separations. You may go through some things that you feel, why in the world is it getting so bad? Why are the people that I love have to be so far away? Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the family. It had to do with his faith. Would he do it? How many times have you had to step away from something you love? Now, if it was something you kind of liked, would it have been a hard thing for you? No. I would say, oh Lord, I don't know if I'll share this with you or not. You know, we had to put one of my dogs down a couple weeks ago, and it was tough. It was extremely hard. Because the one that we had to put down was the one that was the most loving. In the morning you would wake up, he was the one that was waiting for you. Before he went out, he wanted to kiss you. He wanted to love on you. Before he wanted his food, he wanted you. So when we put Bear down, that was hard. And we have his brother Teddy. Teddy's a little ornery one. He don't like to be loved on. And he ain't going to love on you. The only thing you're going to get from Teddy is a look. Right, Josh? Michael? He's just going to look at you like, feed me or let me out. And then my cat. I'm saying this for a reason. Nobody likes my cat but me. She likes nobody but me. So when we had to put Bear down, it made it very difficult because he's the one that we all loved. And there was a statement that was made. I won't say who. Why couldn't it have been the cat? No, that's rough, right? Like, hey, where's the love here? Come on. I say this. That's bad. Shame on all of them that said it. I kind of walked away like, I know. It should have been the cat. The cat got bit by a rattlesnake twice and survived. It got to the point the devil said, I don't want that one. I'm going to keep that one in your house. But if it had been something that didn't mean anything to you that way, you wouldn't feel it. So when God told Abram to leave his family, leave the region where he grew up, leave the place where he first found God, leave it. Well, that's difficult. So if Abram is the father of our faith, let's look at the nature of Abram. So we have to understand if Abram is the one that has been our forefather of faith, what made Abram follow after God? He had no scriptures to refer to him other than what he knew about what Noah had written. He only knew a certain point of there is a God, but I don't know how to get to him. I can hear him. Isn't that something? Well, who taught him how to hear from God? Who taught him that that was God's voice? But God himself. So some things that you're going to go through is based upon what your forefather Abraham has gone through. You're going to find things out on your own that God will reveal to you in the process. Haven't you at sometimes start doing some things? You're like, I don't even know how this got done. I just know there had to be God. You know, like when I put together any kind of, I'm not really mechanically inclined with a car or anything. But I can tell you, sounds like you need oil. Why? Because I've had a car. I messed up a car because I didn't put no oil in it. Oh, it won't start. Sounds like it's what's the other one? It'll turn over, but it won't, the gas won't get to it. Oh, that's the fuel pump. How do you know? Because it always happened to me. You know, when things go bad, it just, you know, me. Driving down in the car and all of a sudden it would just turn off. Okay, now how am I going to explain this one? Coming home, you know, late at night. Mom, I would have been on time, but the car just stopped, right? So I didn't know how to do a lot of this stuff, but then the Lord just showed me, go do it. I didn't know God then, but I would learn some things. Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, all things. So I began to ask God, what about Abraham? Who taught Abraham? Who taught Abraham just to go ahead and trust God so much, even after God promised him that he'll be a father of many nations, and through you, I will bless all the families of the earth. Can you imagine that kind of promise that came from God? And then he says, okay, now the one that came from your loins, that's the one you're going to sacrifice, Isaac. Can you imagine how Abram felt? We're going to go and we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. And then the boy. How many of you think that Isaac is a little baby boy during this? He's a teenager. How many teenagers would let you put them? Come here, Trey. This is what I want to say. I'm going to just show you. Here it is. Now, what happened was Isaac was old enough at this time as a young man, just like Triton here, and he has watched his father many times have conversations with God. And then not only see Abraham have his conversations with God, but to be obedient to what God says. You see, what happens is if the kids don't see you pursuing after God, you can't expect them just because you tell them to pursue God unless you show them. And you don't just tell them, get out of here, you know I'm praying. Maybe you get them and say, come on, let's pray together. I know you got attitude. I know you got attitude. We're role playing. He's like, what? I know you don't want to be here. I know you want to be out there with your friends and stuff, but you're going to be with me right now because I got to show you something. It's going to mean something for you later. Let's get on our knees. And we're going to pray to the Lord. So you show them. What was the Abraham doing to the generation that was following? Is teaching them how to go and get God. Now, won't you stay here? Now, in this generation, instead of teaching our kids, we're sending our kids out. We're sending our kids to go and find God themselves. But how are they going to learn to find God if you don't first show them how to get God? And how do you get God? By pursuing Him. When do you pursue God? Not just through the bad times, the good times. Well, you know, there was times that we had to pray that we have our lights kept on. So let's go to God now. Let's pray that God will send us that money to pay our bills, right? Okay, Daddy, let's go and pray. But it says, wait a minute. Well, let's start thanking God anyhow that He's going to supply all our needs. Let's start thanking God now that everything that we're going through, He's got a way out for us. Do you see what I mean? You start showing the child at an early age so that when he gets older... Now, he's the teenager. Says, oh, come on, son. We got to go somewhere. We're going to go make a sacrifice unto the Lord. Okay, Daddy. Let's go, Daddy. Daddy, I've been to you with you many times for the sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? Because you didn't bring nothing with you. Daddy, what's going on? And Daddy tells him, God's going to provide. God's going to provide. But first I need you to lay right here after I place all this wood right here. You think he was smiling now? Matter of fact, he's going to help build his own altar. His own sacrifice. Abram didn't do it all. He showed him how to build it. He showed him that when God speaks, you obey. So now they're building this altar. And I know Isaac's probably thinking in his mind, oh, God, I need to really pursue after you right now. I know my daddy's right next to me. He's getting a little bit old in age. He's getting a little senile, God, but he forgot something. He's telling me to lay down on this thing. Katrina taking residence here. In my whole row. Okay. All right. All right, baby. I love you. You know your daddy He prayed to God. Seek God's face. I've shown you how to do it. I need you to lay down on this altar. You see, he's already asking. Watch this. The angel did not show up until Abram raised the actual knife to do it. That's full commitment. So what is he showing to his son? This is the hardest thing for me. Can you imagine, Isaac, for you? After this, Daddy. But as a father that heard the promise from God, here now is his son, and he's already at old age. Here's now the promise comes to him. Isaac is known as the son of the promise. And now the father is getting ready to kill the promise of God based on the instructions from God. How many times has God asked you to do something and it was just this difficult? When he rolls up that knife and getting ready to kill the promise, it's not written. It's not even stated. You can't even presume this. But in my mind, I put myself in Isaac's position. How he's crying out to Dad, don't do it. Don't do it, Dad. I know I love you and I trust you, but don't do it, Dad. I don't know how we can turn from this. I know you showed me many times that you prayed, and I've seen you converse with God, but don't do this, Dad. Don't do this, Dad, because then I'll never see you again. I'll never be with you again. And then I think about the father saying, God, son, you're my promise in my old age to be a blessing. And I have to do this. This is already difficult. Don't look at me. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. This is too difficult. And at that very moment, the angel said, steady your hand. Steady your hand. What if Abram was full of zeal but no wisdom? What would he have done? He would have got ahead and just did it. But at that very moment, the angel showed up, not only to spare the blessing, I believe he did it to spare Isaac. Because in that moment, he chased God. In that moment, he chased God for himself. He chased God for his daddy because he knew something that his daddy would have to carry that with him. He chased God. And I believe that through all of the hardships, and everything that maybe as a child he went through, he still trusted his father. Just like Abram trusted his father. So then the angel says, look, there's a ram in the thicket. And he provided for him the sacrifice. What did that do to solidify his faith? Can you imagine now Isaac saying, God's nature is to provide. Who taught him that? God himself taught him. I will provide for you in my timing, my way. But you first got to see it all the way through. It's not going to be easy. First of all, you may see yourself going through hardships, sometimes being alone. Outcast, but I got you. I'm with you, and I'm with you always. Now, thank you, sir. Abraham goes on to be with the Lord and dies at an old age. And then God comes now to Isaac. In Genesis 22:14, Isaac realizes he's that provider. So Abram called that place, "The Lord will provide." After that very moment, it was a life-changing, life-altering moment in the very presence of God that he named that very mountain, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." He named that very place where the Lord provided for him. How many times have we looked back over our life and say, "That was God. That was God right there. And he's done it, and he'll do it again." So then we see now, as the Father goes on to be with the Lord, our Heavenly Father, in Genesis 26, verse 3, it says this to Isaac, "Stay in this land for a while." Watch this. This was during the time of a famine. Isaac is crying out to the Lord again. Isaac already had the experience that God will provide. So in this famine, now he cries out to the Lord again. And now God answers him and says this, "Stay in the land for a while." "Wait a minute, God, there's the famine here. I'm going to have to trust you again. I'm going to have to go through something. I'm going to have to trust you. When you come through, it's when you come through. But there is a famine. My family is perishing. Everything around me is beginning to look weak and feeble. Everything is dwindling away." And this is what he says. "Stay in the land for a while. I will be with you and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give these lands and I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham." So now he realized something different of the nature of God. He's a covenant keeper. He is a covenant keeper. He knew that God would provide because he's seen that. Matter of fact, his daddy named that mountain, "The Lord will provide." So now you see now how the nature of the Father has been shown to the Son. And now the Son is beginning to pursue after God to start learning the nature of God for his life. And you see it here. Now he's a covenant keeper. Let's turn to Genesis 31. Now this is Jacob, our forefather Jacob. Genesis 31, verse 3. "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you.'" What did Jacob understand now? Jacob now is beginning to see the nature of the Father, the Heavenly Father, is that he will be with you in the very present time. In your present time, he'll be with you. He said, "And go back to your land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." Wouldn't you like to hear God say that to you? "I will be with you. I'm going to be with you. Just know that I'm always there with you." Would that bring you comfort, B? That God said, "I'll be with you. I will be with you." So you know he's there in present. Now let's turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, verse 20 through 21. Now this is about Joseph. Genesis 39. Now this is when he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife saw it. If you read that scripture, I think it's verse 18. It says that, "And Joseph was strong and good looking." That Potiphar's wife even took notice. "Come and sleep with me." And that he said, "No." And Potiphar found out about it and says, "Oh, I'm going to throw you in the prison." Now here we are in verse 20. It says, "Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden." So now Jacob sees another nature of God. He sees that "I'm with you during the hard times, and I will show favor and kindness to you." I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm going through some tough times, I want God to show me favor. Show me kindness. Even when I'm wrongfully accused. Many of us get wrongfully accused of things. You know, when the twisting of the words comes into play. You say something, someone twists your words, and they turn it on you. So they start talking about you and stuff, and they start saying that, well, this is the way so-and-so is. This is the way they act all the time. This is the way they are. But that's not anything of your nature. That's not you at all. But the enemy always wants to do something to turn that against you. And I want to know that every time I walk through something like that, that God has shown favor to me. And he shows me kindness. So we know the story that Joseph now becomes the second in command, because he realized something, is that God was with him. God will provide for him. God is a covenant keeper. So he's beginning to see all these things that from the father Abraham to Joseph, he begins to partake of these. Now watch this. Go with me to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verses 14 through 16. This is about Moses now. Exodus 33, 14 through 16. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? Here's what's very interesting right here. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? You see, we have to be the people that other people can see. Oh, there's something different about Miss Mary. Oh, there's something different about Jennifer. There's something different about Colleen. There's something different about the people of God. What's so different? The peace of God that is on them. Now, I don't know about you, but if you don't find peace in the midst of your storm, are you really pursuing him? If you're pursuing him and you're after him, you can go through a storm. I can tell you this right now. The past month has been a storm for me personally. A storm. But I've been in the presence of God. I have been in the presence of God seeking his face, not for answers, just seeking his face. If I don't need to know the answer, he's not going to give it to me. But if I stay in his presence, his peace will cover me. His peace will lift me up. His peace will give me strength, will reinstill my hope. So I stayed in his presence. I wasn't looking for an answer. I wasn't looking for clarity. I got to the point I learned a long time ago. Just stay at my feet and I'll get to you what you need. Don't come to me with petitions. Just come to me. And when I learned that, all I would do is just worship at his feet. Just worship. I'm not asking you for, you already know what I need. You already know what I'm going through. I'm just going to worship you because you're daddy all by yourself. You are Abba. If I can just worship you through the midst of my storm, you'll take care of it. You'll take care of it. That doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt, but you know it. So here I go to this men's breakfast. Everything that I could have asked God, he answered everything, and I never even spoke it out. I just trusted God. I know you got me. I have to know that as a child, I followed my forefather. I followed my grandmother. I followed after them to begin to understand that if you did it for them, you'll do it for me. And one thing I realize is the more I get in his presence, the more I stay at his feet, it doesn't matter hell or high water, everything that I go through is working for my good. If I know it's working for my good, I know he's going to bring me on the other side. If it's working for my good, then he's going to work in me what he intended it to be. If it's working for my good, he's going to change my nature to reflect his nature. If it's working for my good, what he's going to do to me is show me more of him to me. So that when the next wave that is coming at me, it shows me, just get at my feet again. Get at my feet. Get at my feet. And I find it very interesting that during this storm when they were in the boat, where was Jesus? He was in the inside of the boat. He was in the lower portion of it. He was saying, if you learn how to get low with me, then what's going on the outside and around you will not affect you. If you know how to get low in my presence, be humble and lay prostrate before me, then you will begin to see that everything that you're going through will change. You see, he got upset. He got upset that how long must I be with you for you to understand? You know he's with you. He's never leaving you. He's not forsaking you. That's what he told Joshua. He told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So here's another character of Christ himself, the Father. He says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to walk through this storm with you. I'm going to be with you. I may ride this thing out with you, but I'm going to be there with you because you need me in your life. Even when you're not pursuing after me, even when you don't want to come after me, I'll stay right there with you because I'm not leaving you. You may be desensitized to my presence, but I'm not leaving you. I'm going to stand right there. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait, and I will wait for you as long as I got to wait. Because I don't know, one day something may click in your mind. You may say, God, I need you right now. He says, I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I'm right here. Whatever you need is in me. So he is not asking you to be religious. He's not asking you to know every scripture. He's asking you to know him. If you know his nature, you know his ways, then you know he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to provide. More provision is coming. More is coming. You're tired. You're sick and tired of having to stretch. 1 week to week, month to month, you're tired. You don't open your mouth, you don't say anything because you're tired. You're at that point that you want to lash out and you say, God, I can't do it how I used to do it. If it really be up to me, I would take matters into my own hands. But I'm tired, God. And he said, did you know that I'll never leave you nor forsake you? I will provide. He is going to provide. There will be a season where you will see that what is coming in, there will still be excess at the end. You're tired. I encourage you, beloved, pursue after him with reckless abandonment and faith. Pursue him for yourself. Because you need him now, like never before. What do I do next? What does my future hold? And you're asking God to reveal to you what you're to do. Beloved, if you just come and be at my feet, I will pour into you everything you need for the journey that you're about to be on. But you're tired. But if it's working through you, it's for you. If it's happening around you, he's going to use it. Some things that we make choices in life, and God didn't send it, but he'll use it. He would have rather preferred it came to him than to make some decisions based on your emotions. Don't make them on your emotions. Because in your emotions, you will make a decision that is not wisdom. It's impulse. Have you ever made a decision and responded when you're angry? Woo! Usually goes bad. Let me help you single folks in here. Or you couples in here, all of you. If there's a heated discussion going on, you know how you diffuse it? Silence. Oh, it'll make the other person so mad. Why? You don't want to talk to me? Give me the silent treatment?
because our mouth will put more fuel to the fire. We've got to be careful. The nature of the Father is to speak to us where we're at. He wants to show us who He is. Who are we pursuing? Are we pursuing a God that's fictional? Somebody made Him up or somebody told you about Him, but you haven't encountered Him yourself? You haven't spent time with Him yourself? This is a God that looks and longs for you. I'm your Father, and I want to spend time with you. He doesn't want you to just come in and leave, and then the rest of the week you don't even pay attention to Him. Or you know how to do, you thank Him for the food. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you commence to eating. I'm guilty of it. Or you're going to pray just because you know you got something going. God, you already know what I need, so just do it. He wants you to be in His presence before you even bring a petition. He wants you to praise Him. He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to know that His nature is to love on you and give you every good thing for your growth. Everything. Do you trust that? How many of us have walked away from believing that He'll do it? Yeah. Things didn't go the way we thought. Things didn't turn out the way we thought. And I hate this scripture every time something happens like that to me. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I know it. My ways are not your ways. And we make all kinds of decisions based on our emotions. But if we go to spend time with Him, be in His presence, He will reveal His nature. He will reveal His character. And He will release what you need. Our forefathers began to understand more about God because of their experiences. Now, in this generation, where we have Christ now, we begin to hear people tell us what God is going to do. And we just believe. We're far greater and advanced in the knowing of the Scriptures and understanding the Father's nature, but yet we don't know how to get back to His feet. We don't know how to get back to that place of worship because things are made too easy. Five of these in my office, seven at home. Because when I check the word to make sure there's no errors. There's some scripture, there's some versions that are in your electronic devices that have omitted a lot of things. So I go to the printed copies and I double check. But if you're not in your word, spending time with God, you would never know. You would just take it. Well, that's God's word. Some things are omitted. You think the enemy's scared of the Bible? No, he knows the Bible better than all of us. He tried using the Bible against Jesus. But Jesus spoke truth. Whole truth. Not the half truth. So I encourage you, spend time. Learn how to study the Scriptures. Learn how to understand who the writer is writing to. So you have to go and understand who are the people that the writer is talking to have a better understanding. We have to understand the Scriptures to better understand what God wants to do. Amen? Our forefathers went and they didn't have Scriptures. They had scrolls of the previous prophets. That's how He spoke to them. He spoke to them through the prophets. But then He spoke to them directly. Did you remember that story in the Bible? Was it with Abraham? I think it was Abraham. I'm being trivial with this. If God says He was going to destroy a land, a town, He don't need your permission. You think He went to Abraham, can I get your permission? I'm going to go destroy that town. But why would God show up to Abraham and tell him what He's going to do? Tell him His intent. and listen to Abraham's rebuttals. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. That tells me that Abraham thought that, okay, I have a relationship with you so that when you come, we can converse. You'll listen to my complaints. You'll listen to how I see things that may not be your way, but you'll listen. That encourages me because I don't have all the answers. I will go to God thinking I got the answers. God, like your word says this. Look, right here. It says right here. Jeremiah 29:11. It says right here, you have no plans for me. I don't know the plans. You know them. Right? You know how we get sometimes? To prosper me. How many times have we told God his own scripture? We were taught that. Oh, when you go in prayers, you remind God of his scripture like he forgot. You got to fight with scripture. Well, you ain't fighting God. You're fighting the enemy. With God, all he wants is that time with you. Be at his feet. Be like Isaac looking up and say, Daddy, don't do this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that you know me. I just want to do whatever you tell me to do. I want to be obedient. And because I'm being obedient, I just got to trust you anyhow. You'll provide. You'll provide. Will we run after God? Will we chase after God? That's what we need to do. Because if we don't, Lord knows what's going to happen. Lord knows what's going to happen. But if you know the nature of the one that you're pursuing, you'll know the person. So, if the nature of the person that you're intending to marry is contrary to what they say, don't listen to the words, watch their actions. Don't think you're the one that's going to change their ways. If you enter into a marriage thinking you're changing their ways, changing their perceptions, you've already lost, baby. Only God can change them. Only God. And before he changes them, he's going to work on you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be worked on, he'll send some folks into your life that will begin to work your last nerve. Your last nerve. Not that one nerve that, you know, that's the button. The last nerve that when it works on you, you start responding in the way to show you that's still in you. So before I send the man or the woman that I prepared for you, I got to get that thing out of you. So I told God, well, Lord, I'm glad you did it different with me. He says, you were really glad? No, I was just kidding because I didn't want you to take my son. And you gave him back to me and you didn't have to because I wasn't pursuing you. He says, yeah, but you made a covenant with me. Afterwards, didn't you? Yes. I'm a covenant keeper. So if you made that covenant with me, I'm going to hold you to that covenant. You're going to serve me regardless. You're going to pursue after me regardless. And there's no quit inside of you. It's all right, God. You got me on that one. You got me. What do we got to do? Let's make a covenant. Make that covenant with God. I'll pursue after you. Regardless of what I go through. Regardless of what I have been through. I'm going to pursue after you. I'm going to pursue after you. Stand to your feet if you please.